We're going to be looking at Psalm 78 this morning. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Psalm 78, once you find that, would you please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 78 and verses 1 through 8. This is God's holy, infallible, inerrant, immutable Word. Receive it as such. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise to tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Thus ends the reading of the Word of God. You may be seated. The biblical doctrine of fatherhood, that's what we're going to be looking at today. I remember as a new father, and Christian even, trying to figure out on my biblical duties and responsibilities as a father. And regrettably, I made many mistakes over the years, many. A family doctrine was absent from churches. My family had attended, and you know, even the biblical framework of the family was being distorted by aggressive women and passive men. Furthermore, you know, life-on-life discipleship was missing in the church, and nevertheless, I had no one to mentor me in fatherhood. There was just the family doctrine was missing, the mentors and the examples were all missing from the churches I was attending, and I didn't know where to go, I had no one to mentor me in fatherhood and to teach me the doctrine of fatherhood. I knew of no one who sought to even be a model of biblical fatherhood. What does it look like? Show me. Live it out before me. Well, I wasn't seeing that anywhere. And I longed. I pleaded with God to send me a mentor. A man. I begged and pleaded. I wanted a mentor to teach me and instruct me in the ways of God. And so, like Timothy, though, I sat at the feet of the great apostle Paul, and he became my spiritual father. And to Timothy, remember, my true child in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, as Paul wrote to Timothy, all scriptures are given, right? All scriptures, all of them. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, thanks be to God, he didn't leave me without his word and his fatherly example even. So I went to his word. And, you know, over time, eventually, there's been men who have come into my life who obviously have rightly modeled biblical manhood and that biblical doctrine of fatherhood right there before me. They've done that. But boy, very, very few over the years. So I went to the Word of God, and I looked to my Heavenly Father as an example. Thanks be to God for not, he didn't leave me to myself. And, you know, we only have one perfect example. One perfect example of a father in the Bible. But you know what we have in the Bible? We have a whole plethora of bad, poor examples of fathers. I mean, there's all sorts of bad in there. And we can learn from both, though. And we should be learning from both. The bad examples or the poor examples. And then the number one perfect example is our Heavenly Father. But the Bible records passive fathers, absent fathers, aggressive fathers, lawless fathers, abusive fathers, sodomitical fathers, unscrupulous fathers, murderous fathers, adulterous fathers, idolatrous fathers, fathers who show favoritism, fathers who are excessively stringent, fathers who are lenient, effeminate fathers. We had all kinds of fathers in the Bible, and they're all bad examples. They are poor examples of what it is to be a father. But we should learn from both. But I want us to behold our God and Father in the Scripture to learn the doctrine of fatherhood. And that's where we should look. We should look to our Heavenly Father and look to Him and see in Him the pattern and that teaching of what it is to be a father. And that's the kind of father we want to be. He is the pattern and example to be followed. And so when we come to the Scriptures, that's why it's so important. Here we are, we're coming to the Scriptures. It's a big book, and there's 66 books in here, and we're coming to the Scriptures. This is the Word of God, right? And we are to obey it and seek to align our lives to it in every way, and our hearts are to be conformed to it. And so what do? When we come to it, we need to be asking questions of it instead of just quickly reading through it as fast as we can get through our daily reading, and then we move on and say, man, I got that one. But no, we're to actually slow down and ask questions of the Scriptures. Ask questions of it. We should be asking, you know, what's my duty and responsibility and goal and motive in fatherhood, since that's what we're looking at specifically today. What is that? What is my duty? What's my responsibility and goal and motive in fatherhood? And as we examine the Scriptures, in order to get a right understanding of fatherhood, let us remember that there can only be that one. There's only one perfect father, and there cannot be a one-to-one comparison between the fatherhood of God and the creaturely form of fatherhood. We have to remember He sits at the top, and He is the preeminent father, or the archetype, and He's perfect. But yet we are commanded to be perfect as He is perfect, to be holy as He is holy, to imitate Him in love even, to imitate Him in every way, because that He is the goal. He's the goal for every one of us. He's the pattern and the goal. But the bar has been set for us fathers. Imitate Him. Be holy as He is holy. So there's the bar. It's God the Father. And so let us seek to, you know, to imitate our Heavenly Father in our divinely ordained roles as fathers. Loving as He loves with a tender heart. Teaching and disciplining as He does in complete patience. So there's the bar, though. It's God. God the Father. That's where we want to follow His pattern and seek to be like Him. You know, Matthew Henry wrote that fathers must go before their household and the things of God. They must be as prophets, priests, and king in their own family. And as such, he must keep up family doctrine, family worship, and family discipline. And so that for the sake of an outline and teachability, we will follow his suggestions this morning. We're going to look at the father as a prophet and a king and a priest and a king. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. The father is a prophet, priest, and king in his own family. And so I want us to look at that. Father is the king, for starters. You know, consider, you know, a king. What is he to do here? A king, what does he do? What's his responsibility? His responsibility is to watch over and to care for the people. He rules over his kingdom in the interest of its citizens. That's what he does. That's what a king does. And the husband is to rule over his household as kings. And, you know, before we even get into this, some people will sit here and they'll be like, well, I'm not a father yet. I don't even know if I ever want to be a father. Or maybe there's only one here who's a father. Well, what if we don't ever teach that biblical doctrine of fatherhood? Then you're never going to know how to be a father according to the Word of God. You'll never know how to actually to raise up your children when you have a child. So you prepare now, and that way when you do become a father, then you're ready and you're prepared. You've already heard that and you're familiar with it, and you can go home and study it more, obviously, from here to there. But we should be preparing. Men should be preparing for that duty and role as a father. Because someday you will most probably become one if you're not already. And even if there's one father in this church currently, it makes no difference to me, because that one father needs to know what it is to be a father, what the Bible declares it is, how the Bible defines it, and what his duties are and responsibilities are, and so on and so forth. And even for grandfathers, I don't want to leave them out. Grandfathers have a responsibility also to do everything they can to influence their grandchildren. And they should be doing that. So they have a responsibility, and also grandfathers have a responsibility even to encourage their own children. So you have your father there encouraging a son to raise up their children in the ways of God. So, but yeah, it's all applicable to each and every one of us, no matter what season we are, no matter what season in life we are. And so consider, though, again, the king. He's the king over his household. And many, I can tell you right off the bat, would balk at this whole idea that the man is the king over his own castle. And that's okay. That's fine. Because they'll be asking, well, what hinders him from being some kind of a tyrannical ruler? Oh, that wouldn't be right for him to be the king over the house, his own house. Well, why? Because what hinders him from becoming that tyrannical ruler rather than a benevolent ruler? And God will take care of that. He judges every man's actions and inactions. We just leave that to God. And we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for the things that are done in the flesh. But the man is to, the father is to rule his family in the fear of God. And his authority has been granted to him by God, and he is answerable to God. And so you just leave it at that. And he's not free just to govern his family as he wants. He is to govern his family in accordance with the Word of God. That's what he is supposed to govern by. Here is the law that he is supposed to rule by. So this is the constitution for him, you could say. This is the law of the land. This is the law of his household. And it's his law that he's to live by. And so he does it by the Word of God. But, you know, God ultimately is the king, and the Lord is the man's past, is the man's master. God's word even declares that the head of every man is Christ and the head of every woman is man. And so the father is to rule his family. How? In the fear of the Lord and by the word of God, okay? And the father is the king to rule his own family. And he's not the king of another man's house. And his primary interest should be his own house, his own home, his own family. So many times we get these people, they're always looking around at other families and other people and all that. No, why don't you take care of your own house first? That's what you need to look at. Look at your house and get it in order. Because I'll guarantee you there's somewhere that needs, there's something there that needs reforming. And that's what this whole series is about. We are to be reforming, you know, not conforming to the culture. And that means in every area. That includes our own lives and our families and our churches. And that way we can impact the culture around us. But it has to begin with us, and it has to begin with in our homes. And so the father is to be looking at his home. His primary interest should be in his house. And even as Joshua declared, remember what he declared that to the people, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's not looking around at all. I mean, he was a ruler in Israel at the time, but he's saying, look, I do care, but on the other hand, I'm not following you. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You all want to go serve Baal? You go ahead. But I'm not following you. I'm going to serve the Lord, and my family is going to serve the Lord, Yahweh, and him alone. And so it's his duty. It's the father's duty to establish worship and order and education and discipline in his house, in his own house. That's his duty. And so let's look at worship. You know, he is to ensure that the family worships who? Well, only the one true and living God. That's his duty to ensure that his family worships the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ should be even at the head of every home and at the center of every home. Christ is to be. He must make sure and ensure that his family worships God, the one who made the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is in them. And he must build his family around the triune God of the Scriptures. Christ should be right there at the center of his home. The Word of God must be at the center of his home. And what do we have? The Father is doing what? Well, he's a representative of God in the home. And it's his role, it's the role of the man to establish a religion for his family. And there's only one true and right and good religion, that's Christianity, and that's to worship the God of the Bible. The biblical model, though, for the home is that patricentric, which we've looked at before. The man is to lead his family, and he must insist that his family worships only Yahweh, only him, and no other God. God commands, what is the first commandment? The first commandment is that you shall worship me. You shall worship God, Yahweh, and him alone. You shall have no other gods before me, no other gods before my presence, no other gods besides me. It doesn't really make a difference. You shall have no other gods. I'm God, and there are no other gods. There isn't any. That's it. Yahweh is not to be one of many gods. He's not the first among equals. You know, there's no henotheism. That's what Israel practiced. He was the first amongst many gods. So they would go, they'd worship Yahweh, tip their hat to him and all that. And then they'd go out and they'd worship the gods of the nations around them. And so, no henotheism, no polytheism. No, you can't worship many gods. No, there's only one God and one alone, and that's it. And he's the God of the Bible. He's the triune God of the universe. And you have to set and establish that in your home from early on, as early as possible in the life of your child, so that they will come to know the only true and living God. Because if you don't teach them about the true and living God, then the society will teach them to worship all the other gods. And they will do that. That's your duty and responsibility to ensure that your family and your children are worshiping the God of the Bible and him alone. You must teach him and her. You must teach your children. You know, he establishes, the father does, the religious beliefs and the practices according to the word of God. Passive fathers cannot fulfill their God-ordained duty to enroll to do this. You can't. You can't be a passive father. You can't be an absent father. You have to be there and you have to be engaged. He must teach his children about the eternal triune God and insist. He must insist, not just teach him about him, but you must insist that your children obey him and worship him and serve him and trust in him and him alone. Him alone. It is the father's duty to teach them about the only true and living God. And you know, so that they're, what purpose? When they come to know the real deal, then they'll be able to recognize the counterfeit. So if you teach them the real deal, teach them about the true and living God and all about him. And then they'll be able to recognize the false gods of the nations around us. They'll be able to recognize the counterfeit gods on the horizon. They'll know it from afar even, and they won't get sucked in and led away or astray by these false gods. But you have to teach them. You know, the saving knowledge of God is not, it's not innate. And so when you're teaching and instructing them about the only true and living God, then you're doing it for the good of their souls. You're not just leaving them to themselves, leaving them to the culture, leaving them to the gods of the nations around us. You're doing it for their good, for their salvation. And those who do not do that, they are standing in the door of their salvation. And I know people who do that, they won't bring their children to church. They won't teach their child about the true and living God and salvation in Christ alone. They keep them at home. I've warned them that they're standing in the door of their children's salvation and they're damning them. And God will judge them for that. It's their duty. It's the father's duty to teach them, to train them, to ensure that they know the God of the Bible. Their duty. You know, and the psalmist even said, we just read it a minute ago, we're not to hide these. He will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. This isn't innate. You're not born with the knowledge of God or with the saving knowledge of God even. Yeah, you can't change your child's heart, but you are to teach them and instruct them in the ways of God. That's your duty. And it's handed down. This is the way God works. And it's handed down from one generation to another generation to another generation. It's taught. But if you don't teach it, then it can't be learned. And then it can't impact that child or the next generation. Well, I think that's what we see out here in the culture, don't we? What the Word of God is absent. It's absent from the families. It's absent from the church. It's absent from the workplace. It's definitely absent from Satan's institution, the public education system. I'll guarantee you the Word of God isn't there. It's absent from even the churches. What do? Well, we get up here every Sunday, and I'm going to tell you about my week. Let me tell you all about what I did last week with my children, and I'll tell you a really nice story, and I'm going to tell you how wonderful you are, and then we're just going to, I'm going to give you the blessing, and you can go out, and then that's it. And the Word of God is absent from the church. How could that be? And so what do you get? This is what you get. You get a society that is corrupt. It gets worse every day. It doesn't seem possible. And there's just, everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. No one is walking in the way, very few are walking in the ways of God. And even most of the pastors, even within reform circles, they're woke. That's all there is to it. Fathers, though, are to train up children in the way they should go. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. That is a commandment. And we leave the outcome to God. We leave the results to God. And you know, it's a joint effort between the mom and the dad, father and the mother. They both have a responsibility to instruct them in the ways of God. You know, even where the father is present in the household, it's the father's duty to teach them to worship only the God of the Scriptures and only as he has prescribed. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29, we have here, there's a warning here that's given against idolatry in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 29. And what do we have here? We have, when the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations, he says in Deuteronomy 12, 29. He says here, let me find it quickly in here. Be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever, when you do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord your God. When the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations whom you go in to dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land, take care that you be not ensnared to follow them after they have been destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods, that I also may do the same? And so there's a warning here, and we're to warn our children against the practice of worshiping and serving the gods of the nations around us. So you warn them about that, but you're also to teach them about the true and the living God and how to worship him and please him and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, to serve him, to cling to him, to trust in him and all that. But you're also to warn them not to participate in the pagan cultic practices of the nations around us. Stay away from those. You know, Paul even warned. He said, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And that's, again, not according to Christ is the key there to that verse. That's that ukate Christian. And we need to make sure, not according to Christ. These are, they're leading us astray. That's what they're seeking to do. That's what these vain philosophies and all these false teachings and false prophets seek to do, to lead us astray from the ways of God. And we're to teach them and warn them, though. The gods of men's imaginations, the gods of this age, the gods of power, prestige, prominence, and wealth, all those, warn them against being led astray by them. Warn them, even as the Apostle John warns the church, keep yourself, little children, keep yourself from idols. And you know, you'd think this is just the ABCs of fatherhood, but I'm sure I can't number the amount of fathers that do not raise up or train up their children in the ways of God. They're failing to do so. And so we're living in this society that is a consequence of that. Fathers, how can your children come to know God unless you teach them about the God of the Bible? The God of history. It should be our chief aim. Should be. Not so I can move up on the ladder at work or whatever. Who cares? Yeah, you need to take care of your family. You need the money, but at the same time, no. Number one, your chief aim should be to train up your children in the ways of God so that they might come to know God, and love Him, trust in Him, serve Him, and live for Him. That should be your goal. It should be your chief aim that your God becomes their God. See, it's not good enough for Him to be your God and then that's it. No. Your desire and aim should be that your God becomes their God. That's my heart's desire throughout the years as I was raising up my children. I want them to kneel down and pray to their God and Father and say, Father, and pray to Him and cry out to Him from their hearts. That's the Father's duty. Father is, again, it's not the church's duty, it's the Father's duty. And the salvation of their souls must be your aim. It's your duty to teach them about the love of God, the mercy of God, the justice of God, the patience of God, the kindness of God, the severity of God, God in Christ, the gospel, heaven, hell, sin, all that. It's your duty. It's not the church's duty to do that. You know, there's a second warning in Deuteronomy 12:31. It says that you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burned their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it or take away from it. So why do you think there's been so many millions and millions and millions and millions of men and their husbands and boyfriends and fathers and grandfathers encouraging these women to go and to murder their babies and offer them up on the altar of self? Why is that? Because they didn't teach them. That's why. And they even encouraged them to do so. What a sick and twisted world we live in. Filled with murderous women and men. What a shame. Fathers must not add any element to our worship that is not prescribed in God's word, though. Whether in private or family or public worship, God hates that. You know, remember what our Lord said, God's looking for true worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth, according to the word of God and from the heart. The Word of God must direct our worship, and we must put the Word of God at the center of our households and commit to worship God, God's way. No compromise. We must not be creative in our worship of God. In fact, we're even to test our family traditions. I don't know what your traditions are, but I had a whole lot of them, and I had to test them in light of Scripture. Because I don't want to teach my children to carry on a tradition that is unbiblical. And we got to be on guard. Test it all. We must not be creative. Your family traditions may not be in line or align with God's word. Test it before you hand it down to your children. Be a Berean. Be a Berean. And commit to it. As for me and my household, we will worship God God's way. Be a man. Stand up and lead your family. Be a man. Let your kids know of your convictions. Son, we do things God's way. That's it. Well, what's God's way? Whatever He tells us in His Word, right here. This is God's way. That's it. According to God's word, for God's glory. And this is the will of God for you and me, son. So we're going to do it. This is how we're going to do life and family and church. God's way, uncompromisingly. We will not compromise to the false church. We will not compromise to the culture. We will not compromise to psychology, the I think, the I feel, and all that. No. We don't do that. We won't do that. We will worship God, God's way, period. And we will not attend, son, guess what? Or daughter, we will not attend a church that's compromised to the culture or added elements to worship which God never prescribed. Why? Because God said to worship me this way. Why is it that so many people are willing to compromise on this one portion over here and another element over here? No. You don't do that. God says very clearly and specifically, you can't miss it, do not worship me in that manner. Worship me in this way, period. And that's it. So we are not to attend those churches who have added elements to worship which God never prescribed, and we will only use the material of God's word and His blueprint. No compromise. Fathers, if you do not disciple your children, if you do not disciple your children, then society will. They will do that for you. They'll do it. They'll train your children up in the ways of the world, in the ways of the devil. That's what they'll do. And you see it over and over and over again. Isn't this wonderful? I can just hand over my child at the age of 3 or 2 or now even younger to the babysitter, and then they're going to take care of it so that I can go and pursue my career, or I can go to the spa, or I can go to the beach, or I can sit around home and do nothing. And then my husband's at work, wonderful. Or maybe we both have a job. That way we can buy a bigger home and we can have 2 nice cars and a big bank account and all that. At the expense of your children's souls. They'll take them younger and younger, and they are taking them younger and younger. There's states now that are going to force children to begin to attend, to attend kindergarten, and it's going to go on and on. So that they can indoctrinate them with a pagan worldview and undermine the Word of God, and that's what it's all about. As for me and my household, we'll worship God, God's way. You know, it's the father's duty to establish order in the household. You know, God is not a God of confusion, but peace, and he loves order. Everything is to be done in with decency and in order. The family should be able to look to the father to establish and maintain order within his own household. And yeah, that's going to take some discipline, self-discipline. So what? It's your duty. Do it. Start with yourself. Get your life in order. And then that way you can lead your family in an orderly manner. You have to be self-disciplined. That's the whole of our lives. We have to set our alarms and get our butts out of bed at a certain time and ensure that things are done, blah, blah, blah. I mean, yeah. Make lists, even. And yeah, you're not going to fulfill all the lists, so what? Seek to get everything done on there you can every day in an orderly manner to the glory of God and the good of your family. But the father is to... He decides the schedule even for the week. Your authority is derived even from God. Romans 13:1, right? There's no authority that doesn't come from God. It all comes from God. And there's governing authorities. Guess what? That's you. That's the husband. And he decides that schedule for the week. And yeah, you can receive counsel from your wife. Obviously, you should. You're going to need it. But you're to determine the schedule, that governing authority there. Again, fathers are the head of the household. It's your duty to lead your family. And the father must establish order and direction. A household without a strong, strong male leader will not be able to effectively serve God in a glorifying manner. They won't be able to. Passive men, it's destructive. They are destructive to the family unit. Man up. I started years ago here when we started, and I said, this nation of wimps. And I know many people were offended by that. But that's what we have, a nation of wimps. We need men. Real men. Men of God to lead their families. And it's not by our own strength or power. No, we draw strength from Christ. We're empowered by the Spirit. He'll bless that. When you say, you know, I'm going to start leading my family. I'm going to start getting my own life in order. Look, it's just been way too slothful. I need to be more disciplined in every area of my life. I'm going to work on this, this, and this, and he'll bless you in that. Don't wait around for a sign from heaven to start doing it. You start doing it. The father must establish order and direction. The household, again, it needs that strong leader. The home needs a strong, masculine leader who will take the lead. He's going to take the reins and let's go. Lead your families. Ask God to equip and strengthen you to rise up to your God-ordained role. Ask him. And 1 Corinthians 16, I just so appreciate Paul. 1 Corinthians 16:13. He says over here, he says, now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to visit you with the other brothers. But he goes on to say, let's go down to 13. I apologize, I would start in 12. He says, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And let all you do be done in love. So here he even encourages them, you know, to act like men and to be strong. And even to Timothy, he tells him to be strong in the Lord and to find strength in his might. And to the church in Ephesus, he says the same thing, to be strong in the Lord. Be strong. And You're doing everything how? What we've looked at this last week and the week before. You do it all. Let everything be done in love. That's the basis, and that's the motivation for everything we do. It's in love. And out of a heart of love. And some would say, well, what about my, you know, my feminine side? Well, you know what? Maybe put that to death. I don't know. But that verse really encapsulates the duty and the demeanor and the motive of the husband. It really does. Education, it's the father's duty to educate your children. Hear, O sons, Proverbs 4:1. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. You know, in the Hebrew here, it's singular. It is, and it is restrained to the father only, actually. But here they have father and mother. But, you know, he is the one who is to delegate it to his wife. It's his charge, though. It's his duty to educate his children. And yeah, he can delegate it, fine, to his wife. But he is the one who is responsible for teaching them. And he was taught, even, he says that, I was taught when I was very young, and I was given what? Instruction, and so now I've also handed it down. And so the intellectual education of the child is the father's responsibility, and yet he can delegate it. He can, that's okay. He can delegate it to his wife, especially since he must be free to go and earn a living. Obviously, he can't be in two places at the same time. And so it's good when he delegates it to the wife, especially since, you know, just sitting around home and doing nothing is unacceptable. That's unbiblical also. And then the wife would have to go get a job. So, but it's his responsibility to ensure that his children know how to read. That still falls on him. That responsibility falls on him. And so that what? Well, just so they can read? Well, no, I wouldn't say so. I would say so that they can read the Word of God. Teach your children to read so that they can read the Word of God. I don't care if my children become doctors and lawyers and all that, if they're going to burn in hell forever because I never instructed them in the ways of God and the Word of God. I'll take a truck driver any day. I'll take a loader any day. I'll take a ditch digger any day. And they usually make more money than all the rest anyway. It's his responsibility. His responsibility to ensure that his children know how to read the Word of God. It's the Word of God that saves and sanctifies. It's the Word of God that the Spirit of God works through to save and to sanctify. And even as the psalmist said, how does a young man keep his way pure? By storing the Word of God right here in his heart. How can he do that? Or she do that if he can't read or she can't read the Word of God. You know, teach them the books of the Bible, the meta-narrative of the Bible even. I taught my kids from a very young age. Teach them about God's redemptive plan. Every subject should be taught through the lens of Scripture and through a Christian worldview. Every single thing that you're teaching them, everything, must be taught from a Christian worldview. Teach them the truth first so that they may be able to recognize that counterfeit on the horizon. You know, some people think that you need to teach them all these different views and all these different ideologies from every camp and every... No. That's the worst thing you can do. The first thing you need to do is teach them the truth. That's the first thing. If they're not rooted and grounded in the truth, they'll be blown about by every wind of doctrine. And I've seen that in the church over and over, even here, and over again, it seems like. Don't allow another even to teach your children. Don't. They are yours to rear up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and you need to fulfill your duty. You will be held accountable for your action and inaction. But, you know, I don't think fathers should stop even with the intellectual education, like I've said. A father should not neglect to teach his boy even to be a man. Teach him. Teach him to be a man. That's another issue we have in the culture. I don't have another 8 hours today to touch on that, but it is. Well, I'm not real sure if I'm a boy or a girl or a man or a woman. What are you talking about? There's no question. And then so then you teach him to be a man because he's a boy. So you teach him to be the very thing he's going to become. Teach him to change the oil in the car, to mow the lawn, give him some life skills, to lift weights or whatever. I'm not saying that's the end all be all, but you know, you teach him to be a man. All that's really, it's playing in, it's developing his character. And you're teaching him these life skills, and you're teaching him what it is to be a man, a head of the household, and how to put air in the tires. I mean, you know how many people don't even know how to put air in their tires nowadays? There's actually drive-ups where people drive up and somebody else is putting air in their tires. Well, that's an odd thing. My dad taught me, at least, you know, and again, he wasn't a Christian, but he taught me how to change the oil. He taught me how to work on an engine. He taught me how to change tires. He taught me how to change brakes. He taught me how to paint, how to build, how to mow, how to weed, how to garden. He taught me all that. He was a man. I'll give him that. And he taught me what it is to be a man. And he taught me a good work ethic. And that's what we're to teach our children. Christians, I can't even imagine, we're without excuse for a Christian not to do that. Teach your children how to dig a ditch even. Just teach them that you don't have to go and rent a backhoe down at wherever at the rent-a-center so that you can bring it home so that you can dig a 2-foot by 2-foot hole. Get a shovel, man, and a wheelbarrow. You have to teach them these things, though. It's not innate. Teach them. Especially to not neglect and to develop, we should say, good spiritual disciplines of Bible study and prayer, and to make sure they get into a church, a good Bible preaching church where maybe there's, you know, real men there who can model godliness for them and manhood and fatherhood. The father, though, is a journeyman, and the son is an apprentice. And teach him basic life skills. Teach him to be a man, not a homemaker. Not a homemaker. Model manhood for him. Be that godly, tender, strong, loving, ever available father who leads his family to the glory of God. That's our responsibility. Discipline falls on the father. Let's look at this quickly. Discipline. It's the father's duty to exercise discipline. It's his duty. The word of God by which we live declares whoever spares the rod spoils the child. It's his duty to do it in a loving, caring manner, prayerful manner even. But the father that allows a child to live without corrective discipline is only setting up that child for complete and total failure. You know, undisciplined children will never learn to respect authority in the home or school or society. And they will definitely never, ever learn to respect the authoritative word of God. You're just setting them up. Because you haven't disciplined them. They don't know what it is. They don't know how to behave. They don't know how to live a disciplined life. And you are setting them up for failure. The children must obey. They must respect authority. We live in a culture that has turned away from that corporal discipline, and they vilified it even. And at the consequence of that, the cultural move away from that, it's nurtured what generations of brats and undisciplined and unruly, rebellious adults, because that's what they grow up to be, adults. And they have no respect for authority. I see these videos where they're hopping up and down on cop cars and stuff like that, and I'm like, what the world is going on? Seriously. You have zero respect for authority. And they're burning down buildings and beating up people for no reason. Well, I wonder what that must have just come about. Well, absolutely not. You must be a fool to think that. This is a generational problem. And so you got to go back. There's only one way to right the ship, and we got to go back and start doing things God's way. Children must obey. Folly is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. You know, most children, though, like you say, they're being raised up by passive fathers who are not engaged in the process of training up their children in the way they should go. And therein is the problem. Fathers are absent from the homes even many times. They've abandoned their families, and even the ones who remain most of the time are absent and are neglecting their God-given duty. Fathers are the ones who are to discipline and do so prayerfully and lovingly, again, lovingly, never out of anger. We're to break the child's rebellious will, not his spirit. And there's a fine line there. We need to be careful, prayerfully enter into that. You know, this is, again, it's not to be delegated to another. Only a weak man would delegate that duty to his wife, and shame on him. You are to wield the rod of discipline. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will actually save his soul from Sheol, Proverbs 23:13. This is a commandment. He says, do not, if you strike, he will not die. And the implication here is being that if you don't spank him, then he will certainly die in eternal death. That's all there is to it. Because he'll never learn to submit to authority, and he'll never submit to the authority of God's word. So raise him up, then. Raise him up as you ought. What about fathers? You know, again, that standard by which he's to raise them up is the word of God. Don't ever forget that. It's just not to raise them up as he wants, even. That the word of God is the standard by which he governs in the fear of the Lord. So let him do that and to engage in that. That's his duty as the head of the family. He's to govern them. What about quickly, father is a prophet. Quickly, this is pretty short here. Consider he's the prophet to teach and instruct his family from the word of God. He's the head of the household by design, and it is his duty to instruct his wife and children in the ways of God. That's what he's to do as the prophet. The father is not to leave his duty to another. It's his duty to raise them up for heaven, not for the world, for God, not for man. God's word even says in Deuteronomy 6:7, as you know very well, we've repeated this multitude of times, you shall teach them the whole counsel of God diligently to your children, that it shall and shall talk with of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So herein is the command, you bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, which we looked at a couple weeks ago. The home is a father's most important obligation and mission field. This is your number one mission field. It's your family. Don't worry about running around out there trying to save the world from hell when you've lost your family. God will never bless that ministry. Never. He won't use you out there. You're neglecting the family, the very family that He's given you to care and protect and provide for. Take care of them first. The home, even, you know, as you know, is the foundation of the church and society, and social reform begins at home when the Word of God is the rule and practice. So, quickly, one last thing here. The father is the priest. Let's look at this quickly. The father is the priest in his own household. Consider the home as a little church, Martin Luther said. The father is priest in his own house, is responsible for leading his family in worship. It's his duty, we've talked about that, to lead his family in worship daily. He is to lead his family in the spiritual sacrifices of what? Prayer and thanksgiving. Get your family together and pray together. We don't do that as often as we used to because we have all these different schedules, but as often as possible, get together and pray together as a family. You know, and that's his duty to do that, to hold daily worship together. He's to lead his family in these daily devotionals. That's not the school's duty. It's not the mother's duty. It's not the church's duty. No, 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 it's your duty. And family worship, just keep it simple, right? Scripture reading, explanation, exhortation, prayer, singing hymns, you know, just different elements. And you don't have to make it long. Just keep it simple. Read the Bible. Talk about it for a minute or two. Pray over it. You can use catechetical teaching, you know, catechisms. You can use those if you want, if those are helpful. Benjamin Keach's catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism. I enjoy reading through that. Westminster, even if you wanted to. But furthermore, you know, it's the father's duty as a priest to pray on behalf of his children and wife. So many neglect that. I don't understand why you're not. Why aren't you praying over your children and for your children, not just with your children even, and to go daily to the throne of grace, just begging and pleading with God, offering up prayers of intercession and supplication on their behalf. And even as David did, David's quite the example there, at least, that he did pray for his family. And he should be praying continually, the father should, and that he would guard the hearts and the minds of his children and keep them from evil and the evil things of this world and evil and corrupt influences, the corrupting influence of the world, and so on and so forth. That's his duty to do that. Praying continually to the Lord and praying, lifting up your children before the throne of God. And it's his duty even to go around the house and inspect the house and make sure there's nothing in the home that is evil or corrupting or ungodly or unholy even. Don't let anything like that in the house. You know, the priest and the temple, they went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and they brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it and carried it out to the brook Kidron. And so the father is responsible to search his home and to cleanse it of uncleanness. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You are to guard them and protect them. Keep that uncleanness and that which would defile and corrupt out of your house. And that's more difficult. Obviously, you got these things. Do whatever you can to keep the junk out of the house. I'm not going to sit down on a Saturday afternoon and watch an R-rated movie. I hope you wouldn't. Or actually any movie nowadays. So, but yeah, just be careful. Guard your own heart and mind, and then seek to guard the heart and the mind of your children. And even guests, I'm amazed how many people just have anyone into their home. The occasional guest or acquaintance of your children may be used of Satan to undermine the parents' authority and overturn parental ideals. And And they'll sow seeds of frivolity and iniquity before they're aware. And again, maybe you're going to have somebody over who you know is an ungodly man or woman. Don't ever leave your child in their presence by themselves. Don't. I don't care if it's your father and mother. If they are not saved, don't leave them in their presence by themselves. I'd say no. No. Fathers, do not recklessly and carelessly let others have free access to your children. Don't do it. No. There's a whole lot there. There's a whole lot to learn and a whole lot more to learn. And sometimes us fathers learn best in the school of hard knocks, but we need to continue to go back to the Word of God again and again and again to help us and to instruct us in how to lead our families. It's a huge, huge responsibility. But God's given it to us, men. So we need to rise up to our God-ordained duty and role as the head of the household. And you know, if you want to see that cultural change, then we need a generation of strong and God-fearing men who will lead their families and fulfill their God-ordained duty to shepherd their households God's way. And this is the way forward. This is it. Fathers must not abandon their children to society. You know, our Heavenly Father would have never, ever left us to ourselves or to another. Imitate Him. Imitate Him. So the question would be, why are we so quick to abandon our children and give them over to another? It's a father's duty, God-ordained duty, to raise godly children in an ungodly world. Let's commit to doing that. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us in all those areas where we have failed. Now help us to rise up and fulfill our God-ordained roles, not only as husbands, but even as wives. Lord, help us to walk in your ways and to keep your commandments for our good, the good of our spouses, the good of our children, and for your glory. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing.